program where we've been treating the finding lost people as a spiritual emergency. In the same way of finding that somebody that is dying physically is a medical emergency. But dying spiritually is a whole lot more serious than dying physically. So we should treat it with the same sense of urgency. So we've had a whole series of various classes this year just talking about or preparing you for those situations. So today I'm just going to take a day and we're going to talk about the top five reasons why people don't share the gospel. If you think about it, we come here and we get all fired up and we see the need to share the gospel. And then so many times we get out into the world and we fail to do it. So we're going to talk about why and examine some of that and maybe what we can do about it on there. So before I start, let me just hear from you. What do you think would be the top five reasons why people don't share the gospel? And then as we go through, we'll see how many of you had the same list that I did.
I don't know enough.
Don't know enough? Okay.
Fear.
Think so. Fear? Okay. Yeah. All right.
If you're to win the $1 million lottery, wouldn't you be on the phone with everybody, like with excitement and everything like that? And I think a lot of people have lost the excitement and the zeal of what Christ has done in their own life. And if you don't have it yourself, it's kind of difficult to share it with others because why? What's the point?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right. Yes, Chuck?
A rejection.
Fear of rejection. Yeah.
I think some people think that, well, if I talk too much about it, they'll think I'm a fanatic.
Yeah.
And they'll take me serious.
You don't want to be seen as a nut. Because there are legitimately nut jobs out there that you'll see on the street corner and they think that an effective means of evangelism is screaming at people as they walk by. So you don't want to be lumped in with those. Okay? Anybody else? Anything? Because these are right along the lines of the what I was thinking about. And my number five reasons, doing the Dave Letterman countdown thing here, the number five reason that I had was lack of gospel knowledge, which is what somebody mentioned the very first thing that they said. So sometimes we just don't feel like we know how to articulate what it is that we believe, be able to relate it in some kind of an easy to share kind of thing. So let me challenge you. If you had 60 seconds to share the gospel, how do you think you'd do it? What do you think you could say in 60 seconds? What if you get down to the core of the gospel, how do you think you could express what that core of the gospel is in 60 seconds? So many times we get distracted by kind of side points, I guess. So what's the meat of the gospel?
What he's done for me.
Okay. All right. What he's done for you. There's not a right or wrong answer here. I just want to see if you had, if somebody said, all right, you got 1 minute. Go. Tell me about your faith. Tell me about your beliefs. What's so great about Jesus? What would you talk about?
The life after this life.
Okay. It gives you hope.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else?
Jesus Christ is our Savior.
Jesus is our Savior. Okay. All right. It's kind of tough, isn't it? You think, okay, well, yeah, you know, I hear all this every week and I know all about it and everything. And then when you're put on the spot and somebody says, okay, you've got my attention. Tell me what you believe. Yes, Joe.
That there is a God.
Start there, yeah.
And that he loves you. And okay. He wants to have a relationship with you. Okay. So much that he came down here, Jesus came down.
Okay.
And to be with him forever.
All right. That's a good start. Well under your 60-second limit. You had more? Well, you still got 30 seconds to go, so you're all right. All right. Yeah, that's good. That's excellent. Anybody else? Like I said, no right or wrong answer. All of this is important. Yes, Ann.
What do you have to lose? You know, you talk to somebody about that. What do you have to lose?
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Because if you think about it, it's like at some point you're going to die. And if Christ really was the Son of God and really meant everything that he said here, then if you're a Christian, that moment after you die, then you'll know you were correct, and you'll go to your reward. If it turns out it was not true, you'd never know the difference, would you? You'd die and be dead like Rover, dead all over. So you'd never know. So, either way, you're right. You have nothing to lose, do you? Okay? All right. Anybody else?
Dale, I'm just thinking, I just get this in my mind, that my grandfather, when Charles was born, he was 70, close to 80. He really didn't want to hold Charles. I would just put Charles. I wanted him to hold him, and he was like...
A little nervous.
And I put it...
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, about the best summary that I found in Scripture was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. And I use this sometimes before the Lord's Supper. It says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's what Paul said was of first importance, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and he was resurrected. And that kind of captures in a nutshell what it is that Christians believe, that Jesus sacrificed himself not because of his sins but for ours, and that he was resurrected, which gave us hope of resurrection. Okay, so... You know, there's your 60 seconds. And of course, there's a lot more to talk about than that. But you know, if you get a chance to get your foot in the door, then that's what Paul says is of first importance. So that's not a bad starting point. Sometimes people say, "Well, suppose I get asked a question that I can't answer." Okay, what's your thought on that?
Give me a chance and I'll find the answer for you.
All right. It's like, yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but I can find it. Yes, Brian?
I'm learning as well. And we can learn together. Let's just see what the Bible says.
Yeah, if you think about it, that's an invitation to do a Bible study, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's a fantastic opportunity, if you think about it in those terms of, you know, that's a great question, and I'm not sure of the answer either. So we'll just we'll study and we'll find the answer together. What about if you don't know where to go to find the answer?
There's no way you're not gonna know where to go if you're a Christian.
I'm sorry, what?
There's no way you're not gonna know where to go to find the answer.
Well, I mean the Bible, but that's a big book. I mean, you know, if there's a specific question, how would you find it in the Bible? Yes.
You go to someone who knows more.
You can. You can ask for help. What else can you do?
Go to the internet.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. You know, this phone that you carry around that you take for granted that you use for watching funny cat videos all the time connects you to the sum total of human knowledge. That's actually an amazing thing that nobody has ever had before in the history of humankind. You can pull out your phone and literally find the answer to any question you have. And use it. You know, by all means. The internet gets used for a lot of negative things. Use it for positive things. I mean, I've been teaching and studying all my life, and still, what do I do when I don't know where a verse is? I Google it, and it comes up with it, you know, and gives it to me in any version of the Bible that I care to look at. So so use that. There you go. That's an incredible tool that you always have with you. You don't always have your Bible and your commentary set and your Bible dictionary and your exhaustive concordance that's exhausting to carry it around. But you've got all that in your pocket or in your purse right now. So you don't have to carry all that and you don't have to know everything. But you can find it. Okay? And if you're not sure what to share, I think somebody said this earlier, tell your story. Mm-hmm. Might have been Pat that said that. Tell your story. How did you get to be a Christian? You know how to become a Christian because you did it. So just tell what was going on in your mind. What was it that convinced you to become a Christian? And then what was the process that you went through on there? So you may not know everything about the Bible. Nobody does. But you know enough. You know enough to share. And for things you don't know, great opportunity to study with somebody. All right, the number four thing that I had was a reason why we don't share the gospel is because of our own sins. Sometimes we feel like, I'm being a hypocrite because I'm not perfect. I still sin. I still sin every day. And so how can I tell somebody else about the gospel and explain that I'm a Christian whenever I'm not a great example of a Christian a lot of times? Sometimes we still have a little bit of a rebellious streak in us. Russ has talked before about your life or your soul being like a house, and there's certain rooms that are locked on there. It's like, Jesus, you can go anywhere you want in my life except for this one area. And there I'm not going to let your influence affect it because that's too important to me. So sometimes that holds us back. We're like, okay, well, I can't share the gospel because I still have this major character flaw in myself. So how can I tell other people about being a Christian whenever I'm not really that great? And especially if there's something in your life that people know about. You think, well, how can I have any credibility about a Christian as far as being a Christian whenever, I still have this character flaw? Maybe you still blow up at people at work sometimes. You haven't gotten your temper under control or something like that. Yes, Chuck.
Guided in the better way in our lives. Gives us that sense of direction, that sense of purpose, mm-hmm. that avenue to the better life. It's not about us. It's about what he's done for us. He does that we do. Thought, word, deed, attitude, the whole gamut is to be pleasing unto the Lord.
So turn that weakness into a strength.
Yeah.
Then use it to say, yes, I'm a Christian, and yes, I'm not perfect, and God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to try and do the best you can, but he knows that you're still going to make mistakes, that's not an excuse to make, you know, well, you know, God loves me even if I'm not perfect. That's true, but that's not an excuse for not trying. But yeah, you use that. And in each of these cases, these barriers, instead of being a hindrance, you can use as a means to an end. And so just like not knowing the answer to a question, use it as an excuse to study with the person. If you make a mistake, it's a good opportunity to say, I'm not perfect, and you don't have to be perfect to be a Christian. God doesn't call perfect people to be Christians. He calls people that need him and that want to try to change. Yes?
Focus on that relationship. because you take any relationship, husband and wife, brother, sister, friends, they're going to have struggles because we're all human. Mm-hmm. But it's the intent of the relationship. You want to have a relationship with somebody. You want to try to please somebody. So that's the way it is with God. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to struggle with our relationship with God. But we want that relationship with God. So we want to please God. Mm-hmm. We want to do his will. Of course, we'll get off track. Every relationship is. But it's that you have to have that relationship with him.
Okay. I like that. It's a good way to think of it. Anybody else?
Well, you know, we want to please God, and that is our number one, because he's our number one relationship, I'm supposed to be. But we are all ministers of his word, the gospel. And that's what we're talking about today, but we don't want to hamper that. I mean, it's great. But you said it on several occasions. Nothing should come out of your mouth that you can't immediately, you know, tell somebody about the gospel, you know, and or any action that we do. We don't want it to hinder our ministry to other people. So, I mean, yeah, we're going to slip up, but motivation is, hey, are we reaching out to people? Is it an emergency? And do we want to get our sin in the way of that? I mean, that's working against yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So you're not going to get another opportunity. Something like Miss Charlotte, she worked with them, but not everybody that you come in contact and sees you fall, you're going to get another opportunity. I'm just saying that's a motivation that it's a life or death thing.
That's true.
You might have one chance.
Yeah. And if that chance happens right after you made an obscene gesture to this person in traffic, then it is a little hard to follow that up with, here, let me tell you about my Savior. So that does reduce your credibility somewhat, I will say. Okay, the number three thing that I had was lack of an active prayer life. So if you think about it, if you haven't experienced this, you've probably at least seen on the movies, before an important mission, whether it's a SEAL team or whether it's the FBI or something, and they're getting ready to go on this important mission, they all gather around and they have a pre-mission brief, right? So they lay out the plan, they figure out exactly what, not only what we're going to do as a team, but maybe lay out individual responsibilities. Okay, you're going to go over and you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this over here. And we're all going to coordinate all of our actions to accomplish this goal. So, you know, talking to God helps us prepare to share. Because sometimes sharing is just a spur-of-the-moment thing, completely unplanned opportunity that you have. But sometimes you do plan in advance. There's somebody that you see every day, and you think, okay, today is the day. Today is the day I'm going to go and talk to them about the gospel. So plan, and ask God for help. I mean, this is our mission. This is the mission that Jesus gave us on earth, is to seek and save the lost. So why wouldn't he help you if you ask? There's a lot of things we ask for that are petty and that we really don't need. So why wouldn't you ask about something that's very important, that's right in line with the mission that he gave you? You know, ask and you shall receive. And James said, sometimes when you ask, you don't get because you ask with the wrong motives. I mean, this is clearly the right motive. So, yes?
I like your the context that you use because of emergency services. But we come up on an incident where we're overwhelmed. What do we do? Call for more resources.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what prayer does for us. Like, prayer provides us the Holy Spirit for guidance. And prayer provides us the strength we need. And the Lord's going to provide everything that we need to be able to handle that incident.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you come up to somebody and you don't know how to handle it, there's nothing stopping you from saying it. Quiet prayer in your heart, say, Lord, help me through this situation. Bring me the resources I need to take care of this emergency. And there's great resources there if we call them.
Yep. And the Holy Spirit may not guide you into your words until you open your mouth. Sometimes when you start talking, you may still not even know for sure what you're going to say or where you're going to go from there. But trust the fact that the Spirit will help you, and will help you find the right words, and will help you to find the right strategy, the right tactic, in order to try to reach this person. So, but you've got to first take the initiative to open your mouth and to begin. That's okay. You beat her by about 14 milliseconds. So you're first.
Well, prayer is such a powerful tool for Christians, so we need to use it. And so often we are in a position where we need to be the one that steps up to the plate. And when it's time to pray, we can do so.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer comes with practice. Prayer is a great communication tool.
Mm-hmm.
From us to God, and He'll give us the strength to do what we need to do when it comes to praying to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is not an option. You must be able to step up to the plate and do what is necessary to pray to God with confidence and with vigor. Let people know that we know what we're talking about. We have faith in God to ask Him for whatever we need, and that we have the confidence that we believe that He's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
I'm reminded, I'm not an eloquent speaker by any stretch of the imagination. I have a tendency to be dyslexic and get all discombobulated when I want to work in my own strength. And I'm reminded in the book of Exodus, Moses' objections to God. And it's like, you know, he says in Exodus 4, 4:10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereunto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.
Well,
and I loved what the Lord said. It pierced my heart. So the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, and who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say.
Right.
And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand him whom thou wilt send. And what it does, it takes away pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about us. It's
mm-hmm.
it's just be willing. Here I am, Lord, send me. And you be the one that speaks through me. You be the one that fills my mouth with the words that you want me to convey to whoever. And I've been on both ends. I know what it's like to want to do it in my own strength and maybe hit that little notch on your belt that you're saving someone when we're not saving anybody.
Right.
And I know the difference when it's like, I'm a nobody. Lord, just use me. If I can be used in any way, shape, or form, then you be the best. You know, let me be the vessel by whom you know, you're able to speak through me, and it's an amazing transformation, and it's really a humbling experience more than anything, and He'll do His work. He just needs us to be His vessels, and that's the exciting part of sharing the gospel, is just being obedient more than anything.
Well, you know, two leading figures, Moses is one of the leading figures of the Old Testament, and Paul in the New Testament, both complained that they weren't eloquent when they spoke. They're probably the two most influential people
mm-hmm.
in the Bible.
Right.
But even Paul said, you know, whenever I'm in person, I'm not very impressive. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. this is the Dale version of the Bible. But Paul says, you know, whenever I'm there, you may not listen to me because I'm not a great speaker. But he was a fantastic writer. And right. So he used that strength a lot. But he also didn't use that as an excuse to not talk to people whenever he was there. He still talked. He just acknowledged that, just like Moses, he wasn't an eloquent speaker and he wasn't that powerful of a speaker, which is hard for us to imagine these. You know, whenever you read the eloquent writings that he has, that he wouldn't be just as eloquent whenever he was speaking in person.
I think an advantage of taking your time to write gives you opportunity to consider your thoughts before you mm-hmm. pen them. Whereas when you open your mouth unchecked, ain't no telling what's going to come.
That's for sure. Yeah.
So that's
anything can roll out once yeah. I open my mouth and start sure. talking.
So. And back to regards to prayer. Would it be better to put the seatbelt on before you got into an accident or after you got into an accident?
I always wait until I see it coming and then I click the belt.
I think we need to foster an attitude of, we need to look at prayer like that.
Mm-hmm.
But before you get out of the house, pray. Before you make any important decision, actually, pray before you need to make the decision, mm-hmm. not pray afterwards saying, "Dear Lord, what did I just do?"
Yeah, you know, fix my mistake. Yes.
Right, you know, and things like that. So we have what we need at our disposal. Just like when you get in your car, mm-hmm. you know, I still don't get it how people would drive around at 70 miles an hour without their seatbelt on. I don't get it. Neither do I understand why you would want to risk accidents by texting and driving. I mean, there's a lot of things that we do that are not very wise.
Mm-hmm.
We as Christians should use what has been made available to us. And may I remind everyone, that was made available at a high cost mm-hmm. to our Lord. That he was willing to come down here, be that mediator for us. He's not going to speak for us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to mediate for us. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. Whereas, dear Lord, this is what Dale really needs. We hear what he's saying, but this is what he really needs. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I just encourage everyone to foster that attitude. Mm-hmm. That just like your seatbelt, before you start heading out, before you get out of the house, start praying.
Yep. Pray for opportunities, and then pray for the help to be able to make the most of those opportunities. Both. And if you ask, you will receive. Some people don't ask for opportunities because deep down they don't want those opportunities, because they don't want to be placed in that situation. Okay, which leads me to number two, and that's apathy. Or, as somebody mentioned, I can't remember who, a lack of passion. When it comes right down to it, sometimes we just don't care. In Romans 9:3, Paul says, "I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race." He saw the lost condition of the Jewish race there. And he says, "I would give up my own salvation if I could give it to them." We really feel like that? Mm-hmm. You know, we should, but I'm not sure we do. You know, sometimes we look at people and it's more like, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not like that," rather than looking at them in compassion and realizing the need that's out there. In fact, you know, that's what we've been talking about all year, is seeing this as an emergency and not just having apathy. Because it's not that often that you walk by and it's like, "Oh yeah, that guy looks like he's bleeding to death. bad for him, you know, and keep on walking. But that's the way we do sometimes with people spiritually. That person's bleeding out spiritually. But am I going to do anything about it? I don't think so. God will use other people. Somebody else will reach him. It's not my problem. It's not my responsibility.
And I see the Good Samaritan story coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. But sometimes we just don't think of it in the same terms. Sometimes we look at it as we say, you know, I don't really find my Christian walk all that exciting, so why should they find theirs all that exciting? You know, why do I really want to share with them what I've got? You know, it creates hardships. People are going to expect things of you now. So sometimes we don't see that as the valuable treasure that it is. Instead, sometimes we see it more as a burden. I don't want to burden them with Christianity on top of everything else they've got to deal with. Yes.
When you're at that point, and I think we all get to that point every once in a while, then the focus needs to look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because what state are we in? Mm-hmm. Because we don't have that zeal for Christ.
Right.
We're losing that relationship with him. And so if we don't find ourselves getting excited about it, then we need to see why we're not getting excited. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, sir.
We can get excited about talking about our favorite football team. See people watching games, and people just fanatics, banging on them, and just having a good time. We need to have that same, or maybe not to the extreme, but we need to have the same excitement.
Excitement about a pumpkin spice latte, you know, than you do about your Christianity. It's that time of the year.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. Well, there's lots of things that get us fired up and excited. Unfortunately, too many times our Christianity isn't one of them.
No.
Okay, so what do we do about it? You know, one thing that in marriage counseling that the counselor will do to sort of reignite feelings is say, talk about whenever you first met. You know, how did you meet? How did you feel? What attracted you to this person? And you kind of explore some of those feelings that you had at the beginning of the relationship. And then sometimes that reminds you of why you fell in love with somebody. You can do the same with Jesus. Think back to when you were a younger Christian. You know, what happened to the day that you were baptized? You know, what about that next day, week, month, year after you became a Christian? You know, how did you feel then versus how you felt now? How do you feel now? That's one way to kind of reclaim that excitement and to think about it the way that you used to. Okay, the number one thing that I had, somebody did mention earlier, is fear. What will other people think about me? I don't want to be seen as a nut job. Ann, you were the one that said that, I believe. Or sometimes people will say, I tried it and it didn't work. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that you try and it doesn't work the first time. I tried playing the piano once and I couldn't. You know, that's not how you learn to play the piano. You don't try it once and you're ready to go and be a concert pianist. You learn by doing. in everything else, we seem to be willing to do that. You know, you've got people that'll sit out there and make free throws for 3 hours until they can make free throws. It takes practice, like anything else. And your first time of sharing the gospel probably doesn't go all that well. Just like your first time of doing anything else in the whole world probably doesn't go that well the first time. But you build your confidence as you learn by doing. As you do it over and over, you start to realize, okay, it's not always going to have visible results, but it's always worth it. And sometimes you don't know how to start. The easiest way is not to launch into a description of Christianity or anything. Just start a conversation. Let the conversation just naturally lead to your feelings. And if you've got that active prayer life and you've been studying, usually Jesus isn't too far from your thoughts. And it's going to be relatively easy to turn any conversation into an opportunity to just share your enthusiasm for Christ, your appreciation for Christ, and spark the person's interest. The Bible says always be ready to tell people about the hope that's in you. But they've got to see that hope. So if you share that, then sometimes people are intrigued, and they'll ask you, and they'll say, you know, tell me more about that. You know, why is it that you can be joyful in this situation where the rest of us here at work are so unhappy? Give them a reason to want to ask you and to be interested about the Christianity. But there are lots of people in the Bible that were concerned, as we talked about earlier. 1 Corinthians 2:1-3, Paul says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling." This is Paul. This is the scripture I was referring to earlier. Paul says, "I wasn't eloquent and I was afraid to talk to people." You're in good company if this is how you feel. But he did it anyway. You know, courage is not a lack of fear. Courage is doing something in spite of your fear. And that's what's required to share the gospel, is courage. 1 Timothy 1:7-8, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." So Paul even gives the answer. He says, don't trust in yourself, trust in the Spirit. He said, you might be timid, but the Spirit's not timid. Give the Spirit an opportunity to speak through you. And let it be him talking and not you talking. And then finally, 2 Corinthians 3:4-6 says, "Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So, I mean, in that instant, Paul says that we're not competent in ourselves. You don't ever have to feel like you're competent to share the gospel. He says the gospel is what has the power. The Spirit is what has the power. It's not you. So don't get too focused on, I can't do this. Maybe no, you can't. But the Spirit can. And it gives you the power that you need. So, The way to overcome fear is just simply preparation. It's studying, preparing that 60-second commercial for Jesus, if you will. It's that active prayer life of always being ready. and asking God to give you those opportunities and asking God to help you be ready. And if you don't feel ready and you get asked that question, you know, pull out the phone and find the answer. Study the Bible. You know, use the study aids that you've been given on there, and you can find the answer and you can share the gospel. But this is our mission here. And yes, you might be a little afraid. You might be a little concerned. But God is going to be with you. It's going to be okay. If you were to lose your life because you shared the gospel, it's still okay. That's what he tells you, is I'm going to be with you always. And it's going to be okay, even when it doesn't look like it's okay. It still is. If you were executed for sharing the gospel, you would be in good company. There's a lot of people that were. But it's still worth it. And we're not likely to be executed today for sharing the gospel, at least if we're in this country. There are some places you could go where you might be, but you're in a fairly safe environment here. So just show that you care. Show that you love people, and they're generally not going to take it in a bad way. Okay. Any final thoughts before we close?